song sheet. So, and if you find a pencil in your pew, you're going to need that a little later. If you can grab that, that would be great sometime. And we're going to sing some Christmas carols together. Thank you.
All right, we're going to ask everybody to stand up, and we're going to sing a couple of Christmas carols this morning to start the service. First one is, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Well, good morning. I was thinking about the original Christmas, when Christmas really happened, and who was there. And I realized that it was a very small, very intimate event. It was really Mary and Joseph. And then the Lord was born with them, and no one else was there. No one else knew. And I thought, well, that's what actually happened. It was a very close, intimate event, but the armies of heaven, the angels knew, and they spoke out. So I want to look at that a little bit today and have a little time where we can come and worship and thank God together. But I want to set the stage. I'm going to read from Luke 2 here a little bit. This is in verse 8. That night, the shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. That's what shepherds do. If you're a shepherd, they were going about their normal lives. There's lots of normal routines in life that they have to do. They have to tend animals, tend livestock. They were at every night, you try to protect your flock. It's a routine they did every day, every evening, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Now it's nighttime. This is what it says, though. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So it was dark, it was night, and suddenly the radiance of God shone out, and they were terrified. They were terrified in what happened. But an angel reassured them and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, was born today in Bethlehem in the city of David." So no one knew. It was Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in a stable. In a stable. And the Lord was born in the city of David. And he says, "And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth, strips of cloth, lying in a manger." You know, we've kind of beautified this. A manger is really a feeding trough, is what it is. You know, the Lord, the creator of the universe, was born in the most humble beginnings. All of us were born in much nicer, more protected, safer places. So nobody knew. And now the shepherds know. This is what happened next. Suddenly, the one angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. So first it was dark, then the radiance of God shone out, then the armies of heaven all sang out to these shepherds, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest." Nothing like this had ever happened before. Suddenly, all the armies of heaven knew. This was a world-changing event. Not since creation had anything happened like this. And peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. This is verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, so it happened, they sang out. The shepherds heard this. The angels all went back to heaven. So think about that. Ever hear the crickets chirping? The shepherds saw this. They were in the dark watching their sheep. All of a sudden, the radiance of God showed up. The angels, the armies of heaven sang to God, and they all went back and you're the shepherds with your sheep looking at each other, what do? They say, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go and see this that we've heard about. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. This is what Christmas is, to go see what the Lord has told us about. That's what I'm hoping we can each do in our own way today. Go see what the Lord has done for us. Why don't we pray together? God, thank you. Thank you for the chance to see what you've done, to see how significant it is that you came for me, for each person here, that everyone in the world could have hope, that you came for us, that you didn't stay far away, that you came close here for us. Thank you for that. You know, in John 14, he talked about this, talked about what the significance was of Jesus coming. He said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came down and became flesh, became just like we are, having this flesh. He said, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We wouldn't understand grace, we wouldn't understand truth, if it wasn't for his coming. You know, I've been thinking about, I think a lot about Christmas and the traditions we've built around it. You know, I come from an Italian family, and there's a lot of food that we surround Christmas with. My father makes these stuffed shells, and it's a big, we all gather, you know, if you're Italian, you gather around food. It's a family tradition. But we get together, we travel, we exchange, there's all these traditions. We exchange gifts. Think of the shopping that you do. How many times have you looked on Amazon for that perfect thing? I struggle with buying gifts because I want the gift to say, and I think I figured out why it's hard, because I go and I look at this and I go, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't say what I want. It's, and I go, you know, and I go, why is that? Because I want the gift to say, I care about you. You are important to me. And if it doesn't, if I don't think it does that, I go, yeah, it's okay, but it doesn't say that. A good gift says to the other person, you're important to me. This is what you really need. I thought about your life. I thought about you. I know who you are, and I got something for you. That's what a good gift is. We even have parties about gifts that aren't too good, right? I mean, we have the white elephant party, right? And what makes the white elephant gift party exciting is there's one or two gifts there that nobody wants. And you keep passing it around, right? You go, oh, I don't want the electric ice scraper. You can have that. I don't have a cord long enough. Or am I going to find some shelf space for this baby? You know? But a good gift is needed. A good gift meets a real need. And it's not free. It costs you something to get something that's really needed. God has the perfect gift. The gift that we desperately needed. Not all of us, not everyone realizes how significant, how much, how important it is to see that gift, the importance of that. So Jesus came, is the first gift, and wise men came and offered gifts to Christ a little bit after his birth. They brought him gold, gold for a king, the king of the universe, the creator of all, gold. They brought him frankincense and myrrh, kind of odd gifts. If you're just a baby, but if you're the Messiah, if you're the Savior of the world, if you're the one who's going to give his life, these gifts make sense. And somewhere out of that, we all give gifts. We all exchange gifts today because we have hope for the future. We do. So why did Christ come? Why did he come here? He did lots of things. He healed people. He fed people. He gave the most amazing teaching there ever was. There was never a better storyteller than Jesus Christ. The most appropriate, the most moral. No one greater than him. Why did he come? He talks about why he came. He actually predicted that he was going to die in John chapter 12, 23. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." You know, one of my relatives gave me these, found this. I was talking about, I was reading this week, and he says, "I'm going to get you some of these. This is wheat. These are little seeds." And he's saying, if it stays by itself, it doesn't do anything. But if it falls to the ground and gives up its life, it gives birth to more lives, gives birth to more seeds, provides the opportunity for other plants to come to life. It's a metaphor for what Christ was going to do and give his life to the world. Lay down his life, die, go into the ground and die that everyone else could have life. That's what he's saying. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal. Christianity's strange that way. You can't keep your life. If you give it, if you give up your life, God can use it for others. We see that in parenting, right? Good parents give up their lives. They serve their children. They raise them up. They sacrifice. That's what it means. Verse 27. He's very specific. Jesus Christ, "Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It's for this very reason I came." The very reason is to give up his life that we could know him. Give up his life that he could wash people clean from their sins. So Christmas is not about a distant, faraway ceremony. It's about Christ giving up his life specifically for people, for individuals, for us. So I made up this little sheet here. What I want to do, what happened on Christmas Day, the original Christmas Day, is that very few people knew about it. But the angels spoke, and the shepherds came to gather and go see what had happened. And that's actually what I want to do, is we've set up this manger here, which is what the straw and hay is about. And the manger is empty because Christ grew up and rose and gave his life. But I want to recognize and come and visit and go see. And so I have written down 10 things, 10 possibilities to think about of what Christ did for people. And I would like you to think about, for you, what is the most significant thing for you? It may be on this list, it may not, of Christ coming. And I want to read these, and I want you to make a little note. You know what a thank you note is? If you get a gift that's really good, if you get a gift that is significant, you say thank you. You write a note. Thank you for this. It was important to me. You know, I did this Christmas video. I was at this live nativity in Wheaton, and I videotaped it, and I put it on YouTube, and a guy I never know wrote me a note, never met. His name's Simon, and he said, "This was so moving for me. Thank you for doing this." I sent him a note just for thanking me. I said, "Well, thank you. That was important to me, that this was moving to you." So I want to write a little thank you. So I want to go through these. I'm going to read these. The first reason Christ came was to pay the price for all your sins, to give up his life, the only one who could, the man who lived a perfect life, that you could be forgiven. That's what he did. He offered hope of forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there really is no hope before God. He offered that hope. He sacrificed his life for yours, that you didn't have to, that I didn't have to, that every person could be washed clean. He started the church. Jesus Christ called the first disciples to carry his message. We owe all of those people who were faithful before us to carry the message. He started a church to carry his message to everyone. We owe them that we even understand what it means to be a Christian. Number five, this is important to me. Ever feel condemned? I do sometimes. Ever feel condemned? Ever feel condemnation? Someone says something condemning, or you feel that? That is not from God. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation. And I claim that verse. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why can we say that? Because of his forgiveness. Because of this sacrifice. Because he came for that. He came to give a life of purpose. It says in Peter that we would live an empty life if it wasn't for him. Life of purpose. You either live for God or you live for yourself. It's hard to do both. He called us out of darkness into light. He gave us the power and grace to follow him. You know, we can't follow him in our own strength. We fail. We falter. But in his strength and the power of the Holy Spirit with his help, we can follow him. He offered us true life. I think everyone is seeking to be fully alive. And he offers us that. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he came to put an end to the power of sin and death. He did all those things and much more than I could list. So what I want to do is I want to have a little moment of reflection. And I'd like you to make a note, a little prayer of what you're thankful to God for. It may be this, it may be something else. So we're going to have just a moment or two. And if you're comfortable, don't feel forced in this. Make a note as Robin plays. Come up and fold it in half. Don't put your name on it. Leave it in the manger with a prayer. Thank you. If you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. But I want to do that as a process. This is what the shepherds did. They came to see the Messiah. They came to see what the angels did. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a few minutes where you can personally thank God for that, for what he did. So I'm going to pray, and let's do that. God, thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming here to be willing to be made a man, to take on all these limitations that we have, the creator of everything to come for us, the only one who could make the sacrifice adequate for all of us. We thank you. And we each in our own way want to take a minute or two and thank you for what you mean to us to come and make this sacrifice, to come for us personally. Amen. So Robin's going to play for a few minutes. It is, if you're comfortable, make a note. Make a little prayer to God and come up. Make a note to the Lord and leave this at the manger, just like the shepherds, just like the wise men did, to come and worship Jesus, the God, coming for you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this time of year to remember. It is a reason for joy that we will celebrate with you. We will see things clearly one day. We will value this most of all. Nothing will crowd out our minds. Forgive us for our distraction, for not seeing how significant and how big this is in our lives, how big it should be. Help us to grasp what it means, that we are so valued that you came for us. Help us to encourage each other today and tomorrow with our love and of your generosity. In your Son's name, amen. Well, thank you. We are going to sing a few more songs together, and that'll be the conclusion of our service. Thank you. A few people gathered, but God saw what was happening and announced it to the world. And thank you for coming today. We did not do an offering today. If you wanted to leave an offering, the baskets are in the back. You can leave it there. If you have time to stay, there'll be coffee and some light refreshments in the fellowship hall. Why don't we pray before we conclude our service? God, thank you again for coming for each of us. Not just for the world, not just for all of mankind, not just for men and women, but for us. For each of us personally, you care about each of us. That each of us could have hope, that each of us could be forgiven, that each of us could walk in truth and grace. Thank you for that, that you care about us. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you for coming today.